Help us to take to heart and understand this word from our Holy Scriptures today. It is perhaps the most human of human conditions to experience despair, to succumb to the belief or fear that things cannot or will not improve, that things will not be better in the future than they are right now, that the future can never improve. It's tempting when I listen to people speak who say, I think things are getting worse and worse, to give in to that feeling. When faced with devastating circumstances and difficulties in the world and in our lives, where we can see no easy way out and the future looks bleak, we are tempted to retreat and give in to despair, to give up. No one knows better these circumstances and this experience than the Jewish people of Jeremiah's day. I'm sure if we'd have lived in that day, we would have thought the world would be ending soon. You see, the people had been taken over by the Babylonians, a very large country next to them, and had been taken into exile. And the worst thing that they could ever imagine happening to them was the destruction of their temple and their religious system. And it was, in this period of time, destroyed. There was no place to worship, no place to gather for community. In fact, they had been taken away from their lands and put in exile. They couldn't imagine a way back. They couldn't imagine a way to ever become the people of God and what God had promised. They had lost everything. Yet it is exactly in this period of darkness, in this time of turmoil and chaos, that Jeremiah speaks these words of comfort and hope. Listen, God said, listen. The days are surely coming when I will fulfill my promise, when someone will be sent to bring about justice and righteousness in the land that I have given you. What a word of hope when things seemed so hopeless. Do not despair, was Jeremiah's message. Even though things look bad right now, have hope, for things not only can turn around, they will turn around. He called on the people to put their trust in God's promises, even in the midst of great pain and suffering. That there would be one who would come and would bring about the world that they sought, a Messiah, a Savior. As I said, this is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the Christian year. New Year's somehow always engage us in excitement and possibility and anticipation. There's something about getting rid of the old year and sort of saying, things have got to be better this year. Something's got to happen to turn things around. We have been given this extraordinary gift of being able to remember the past, but we do not have the gift of knowing the future, even though some people purport to predict it. We cannot know the future because the future is not yet set. It can still be created and imagined, shaped by creativity and our dreams for the future and hope. We don't and can't know the future. We can only anticipate. And that's what the Jewish people did in Jeremiah's time and still do today as they wait for the Messiah. We, too, look to a time when God will bring about God's desire for the world. The theological virtue of hope is the willingness to live in a world that is not complete, that is not perfect, that is broken, and still be content. Hope is about the future, Hope is about God bringing about what God will bring about. We know the world is not perfect. Far from it. We know that we're not perfect. In my case, far from it. But we trust that God can do something hopeful for the world. It's not yet here, but it is coming. And so we live in community with all our imperfections. And we dare to love, hoping that God is going to do something great in our lives. This is the significance of Advent. The inclusion of these prophetic pieces of literature in the Advent season points us to the very importance of waiting and anticipating and trusting in a promised future that seems so removed from our current circumstances. Christians who observe Advent do not do so as a countdown to Christmas and the end of a year. We do so as a journey toward the birth of Christ, of the possibility of light coming into a darkened world, a journey to Bethlehem and the promise and potential that lies there. This first Sunday of our Advent journey begins a new year in not worldly time, but a new year in sacred time. It is an opening to the mystery and certainty of God's presence in our lives. When we celebrate this new year, it's not on a worldly scale of accumulating years put behind us and making us just feel another year older. That's not what this new year is about. It's not about a day of self-improvement resolutions that most often we don't keep. It is an affirmation of our trust in God and a commitment to our faith once again. This New Year's Day is one of spiritual anticipation for the year to come. It's our opportunity to reflect on the spiritual nature of our lives. Whatever Christmas is for the rest of the world, it is for us a time of reaffirmation of possibility, of faith, and of hope. In the journey towards Bethlehem, we prepare to make our commitment once again to this vision of new possibilities. The worship team over the last month have created symbols that reflect each Sunday of Advent. Did you get your little bags? Did everybody get your little bags? Every household should have one. Is anybody missing one? We've got extra. Catherine, Margaret, Marge have some extras here. Anybody else over here, Marge? Anybody else need one? We've got extras. They've created symbols of the journey that we will be taking through this Advent season, the journey toward Bethlehem. Each household has been given a little bag in which to place their symbols. This bag is your Advent travel kit. In it, for today, we have placed seeds of hope. Pull out your little bags. Seeds of hope. They speak to our longing, our hope for a better world, a better future. Seeds of hope. A time when creation will be restored and the world will be a place where we can all live in justice and right relationship with each other. Our journeys always begin with hope. For if they didn't begin with hope, we would have no place to go. Each week we will be adding a new symbol to the journey. So next week we'll have a new symbol to put it in your Advent bags. So tuck them in, when they decided to keep them in their car so they wouldn't forget them. If you take them home, you just take your symbol home and put it there. We're hoping that maybe you'll even put them on your tree, because each of them are designed to go on your Christmas tree. The seeds are small in them, tiny seeds. One might think these seeds of hope are ineffective for the magnitude of need in the world. But each of us, in our own little ways, are called to overcome cynicism and act out our hope in small ways daily. Because we, for better or for worse, are God's hope. We are the seeds that God plants wherever we are, and God calls us to be the hope in the brokenness of the world because we are Christ's body in the world today. The things that we do individually may seem small and insignificant, but each one accumulates as we act together to make a difference. I was recently moved by the story of the three young men who stood in a subway station in Montreal. Keith? Anybody see this picture? So it says three young men who, after the events took place in Paris, decided that they needed to do something. One is Matt from New York, the one on your left. The fellow in the middle says, "I'm Amar, a Muslim from Egypt." And the one on the right says, "I'm Thomas from Paris." They're all studying together in Montreal. They are best friends. The signs on the two ends point to the middle one and say, "He is my roommate and best friend." And the one in the middle says, "These are my brothers." A small act, one might think, of going down to a subway station in Montreal and holding hands for an hour. But it had a dramatic impact on people's lives, because when people got off the subway, I watched a video, they were taking pictures, they were hugging these guys, there was just an outpouring of hope and love for the world symbolized in these three young men who would go down to that subway station and hold hands for an hour. It's a symbol of hope. And that day, that small act expressed the justice and right relationships that we anticipate in God's time. We encourage you to keep the seeds close at hand. Maybe put them on your tree as reminders of this first Sunday of Advent. Talk about hope. But more than that, I encourage you to take each little seed and let it represent one act of hope that you will engage in daily. Each day, engage in an act of hope. Express it in tangible ways. Perhaps say to somebody who says the world is becoming a worse place, who says we can't see our way out of what's going on today, say it is possible, but we have to be hope in the world. Support our local charities. There are a number of pamphlets out. If you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas, the United Church M&S Fund puts out a booklet called Gifts with Vision. Each gift in this book is a gift of hope for somebody in the world who doesn't have the resources to get by. Seeds of hope gifted out of this little booklet. You can give hope in a world that sometimes seems dark. As you noted, we've decorated for the party today. Carol and her crew put up the trees last week, and you have a little explanation of the chrismons in your bulletins today. They are symbols of Christmas, symbols of Christ, symbols of hope. Carol has dubbed this the reflection forest. So you see, what you can reflect on as you sit here on Sunday mornings and think about the Christ coming. I'm going to explain this one in just a minute, this tree in the front. But framed by these two trees, you see a tree in the back. And it has been dubbed the Hush the Rush tree. It's not going to be decorated by anything but lights. And remembering all the things that we have to reflect on and all the business of the season and what is coming up in our lives, sometimes it's good to just sit down and be quiet and reflect on what the season is all about. Hush the Rush. That's the middle tree. The other tree, this tree in front, I see it too as a tree and a symbol of hope. For it expresses in this world our ultimate hope. That someday we will be transformed into an eternal essence that spends eternity with God. This is the memory tree. The tree that we will put symbols on, butterflies, symbols of transformation themselves. The tree that we use to remember those we love who have gone before us and who have already joined God. That is our hope in that great cloud of witnesses. The chrismons we will place on this tree, the butterflies, symbolizes our hope of transformation in the future. Our hope for what we will someday become and what our loved ones have already experienced. Today we're going to invite you to express your love for the ones who have gone before by placing a butterfly in memory of those people. And for the hope that we will someday be reunited. At the same time as we do that, as we place our butterflies on the tree, we invite you to come to either station to light a candle for a prayer you have, a hope that you have, a dream that you have for the world, for a fear that you need to express, for a prayer that you need to give to God. We invite you to light a candle of hope or celebration or sadness. Or we invite you to stay in your seats and spend some time in reflection. As we begin this new year, and we begin our journey toward Bethlehem, I pray that you may live out this Advent season in the expectation that God will do something new in your life. Let's join together now. Carol is going to be up here, and she will have the chrismons to hang on the memory tree for you. Feel free to light candles or just remain in your seats for some time of reflection.